Thank you, Keisha. And thank you for letting us come present our work. Before I begin, I want to thank my colleagues back in Utah that couldn't be here today, Tomo Funai, Tim Simmons, Andrea Thomas, and Cody Olson. All right, as most of us know, motor vehicle crashes are a leading cause of morbidity and mortality to teenage drivers. If we focus in just on 16 to 19-year-olds, it's been shown that these drivers have 3 times the motor vehicle crash rate as drivers who are 20 and older. Looking at Whiskers data, you'll find that there are over 240,000 non-fatal injuries to this age group every year and over 2,500 deaths. To address this problem, many countries and states have adopted graduated driver's licensing program, and the goal of these programs is simply to introduce new drivers into potentially risky driving situations and stages before granting them full licensureship. Now, there's a lot of variation between graduated driver's licensing programs across states, but they all have the same common themes and components. And some of these components include a minimum age for when you can apply for a permit and a license. There's also minimum permit holding periods before you can transition to a full license. Many programs require a minimum number of hours to be verified before you can apply for a full license. And then once you have your license, there are further nighttime restrictions and passenger limitations before you can have full driving privileges. So I'm from Utah, and our program, you can apply for your learner's permit at 15 years and 6 months. You have to hold that permit for at least 6 months, which means the youngest that you can apply for a license is 16. To apply for a license, you have to verify that you have driven at least 10 or 40 hours with a parent or an adult, and 10 of those hours occurred at night. Once you receive your full license, you're restricted from driving after midnight and driving with other teenage passengers for the first 6 months, unless there's another licensed adult in the front seat with you. So that's our program. Other programs, the restrictions start, nighttime restrictions start earlier. Passenger limitations are a little bit different. And because of that, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety developed a rating system as a way to score the different state GDL programs. And you take those components on the previous slide, they assign a point total to them. So for instance, if your nighttime restrictions begin at 10 p.m., you get more points than if your nighttime restrictions begin at midnight. If you do not allow any teenage passengers, you get more points than if you allow 1, 2, or 3. After you scored each of those components, you total it up, and a ranking is given based on the point total as good, fair, marginal, or poor. So the objective of our study was to compare population crash rates for teenagers, looking at the program rating for the graduated driver's licensing laws in their state. To do this, we collected data from 11 states within the Crash Outcome Data Evaluation System, or CODES program. CODES programs use a method called probabilistic linkage to combine motor vehicle crash data with hospital data. It allows us to look at the medical consequences of the crashes. And for this study, we used the data years from 2005 to 2008. We used the IIHS methodology to rate each of the state's programs by the month. Because of the way the distribution of the ratings fell out, we dichotomized these into good versus marginal and fair. None of the states were rated as poor at all during the study period. And then, you know, legislation changed over our study period, and states transitioned from marginal to fair and from fair to good, and this is why we did things on a monthly basis to try to account for that. So we looked specifically at teenage drivers that we thought would be the most impacted by graduated driver's licensing, that's 16 to 18-year-olds. We looked at the population crash rate for them. We also looked at the serious injury crash rate, which we defined to be a crash where at least one person linked to a hospital record, and that hospital record indicated there was at least one AIS injury of 2 or higher, or that the crash report indicated somebody died. So that was our definition of a serious crash. Could have been the teenage driver, could have been somebody in their car, it could have been somebody else involved in the crash. And then for our population estimates, we just used the ones produced by the census. And then we used Poisson regression with generalized estimating equations to account for the clustering of the data within the states. So in our study, we had just over 500,000 teens that were involved in crashes. About a fifth of them were 16-year-olds, a third were 17, and another 40% were 18. Just under half of the crashes occurred in programs that had been rated as marginal to fair, and the other just over half were in good-rated programs, and only 5% of the crashes produced what we defined as a serious injury. Looking at the rates on this graph here, I have the age of the teenage driver on the x-axis, the population crash rate here on the white, or on the, I guess that's the left, I suppose. And I have marginal and fair states rates colored in red, and the good rates colored in white. And what you can see is that every age group, the good rated programs have much lower crash rates compared to the marginal to fair rated programs. And the effect is most apparent in the age group where you'd expect to see it, which is the 16-year-olds. Looking at serious crash rates, of course, the rates are much lower. Thankfully, not that many people get hurt in crashes. But you see the same pattern. So biggest effect in the 16-year-olds, and the rates were always lower in the good-rated states compared to the marginal to fair-rated states. Now, one of the things as a statistician, every time I see somebody that's developed a scoring method that covers many things, I wonder, well, I wonder what components are driving that. And I think the IIHS has reached that conclusion, too, because when we started this program to now, they've gone away from the rating system and now focus on the individual components in each of the states. And so that's what we've tried to do with our data because of the specific laws that we were looking at. We couldn't quite hit the optimal comparisons that we wanted to, but these are the ones we looked at. So on the left is a specific component. I'm now going to graph rate ratio. So rather than looking at good states versus marginal to fair programs, this is a program that has a specific component versus one that does not. And so the first row up there means I'm going to compare states that have a minimum permit age of 16 or higher versus states that have a minimum permit age less than 16. And the rate ratio is a way that we can compare two different rates. If these bars cross the number one, that means there's no difference between a state with a component and a state without. If the bars are less than one, that means that states that have that component have a lower serious crash rate compared to states that do not have that component. And if they're higher than one, that means that states that have that component actually have a higher crash rate than ones who do not. And to continue looking at them by ages, this graph pertains just to 16-year-olds. So what we saw looking at the different components is the minimum permit age being at least 16-year-olds produces a much lower crash rate. I think that makes sense because if you can't drive until you're 16, you probably can't crash. And then we saw no difference in the rates when we were looking at the length of time for holding your permit before applying for full licensure, and no difference when looking at the minimum number of driving hours. Once you become licensed, though, we did see effects where having pre-midnight driving restrictions and passenger limitations requiring or allowing two or fewer passengers produce lower crash rates compared to states that don't have those components. Looking at 17-year-olds, again, by the time you're 17, some of these restrictions may not apply to you anymore, and so the effect becomes a little bit lower. And so you see the permit age was no longer significant, but when we get down to the nighttime restrictions and the passenger limitations, those still continue to be significant. And then at 18-year-olds, again, you're getting farther and farther away from when you were allowed to receive your permit and license, and now only the pre-midnight restrictions continue to be significant for these drivers. So just for fun, we forgot that we were looking at rates and just decided to see what are the factors that impact the crashes. And, you know, we'd like to think that some of these things would be less in states that have good rated programs compared to states that have marginal to fair rated programs. But actually, we didn't see much of a difference at all. Similar patterns of nighttime, similar patterns of speed, similar patterns of alcohol and drugs, and a similar rate or percentage of serious injury and death crashes. And then distraction was actually higher in the good-rated states, but that's such a fuzzy variable, it's hard to know if that's really true. So we thought about this a lot. You know, like one part disturbed us because, you know, one way to get a high rating is to have strong nighttime restrictions. So why are we having crashes at night? But on the other hand, if none of these things ever happened, nobody would ever crash, right? So the fact that you have a crash must mean that probably one of these things might have happened. So we're still unsure what to make of this result. Some limitations associated with our study. This was a convenient sample of states that we could get data from. It wasn't selected in any systematic way. And we did our rates based on population size. And we know that population size doesn't necessarily imply that everybody has a license, and the licensure size might be completely different. And in fact, we don't know who has a license and who doesn't in this study. So we could be looking at rates for drivers who aren't licensed, when we should be focusing on licensed one. And many of the provisions of GDL are time-based on when you received your license or when you graduated to the next stage. It's not necessarily based on your calendar age. So it's 6 months after you received your license. And if you received your license when you're 16 years and 9 months, then when you're 17, you're in that restriction for a little bit, but not the whole time. And we couldn't account for that. Also, some of these drivers could be from out of state and not even licensed under the GDL programs that we're looking at. And even if we knew all of that, we don't really know how much these kids are driving. And there could be different patterns of exposure in the different rated programs. So our conclusions were that while we're controlling for population size, good rated programs did have lower serious crash rates and overall population crash rates compared to marginal to fair rated programs. It looked like the midnight and passenger restrictions tended to have the biggest impact on reducing those crash rates. But we did see a similar pattern of negative crash factors regardless of the graduated driver's licensing program. And future research, we hope, can focus on exposure and licensure patterns. So thank you very much. You mean as far as primary or secondary, or just...
Well, in terms of that part, is there reason to think that, the nighttime restrictions may be more vigorously enforced than the...
I can only tell you about Utah. And I know that one of the problems with the GDL in Utah is that this idea of the restrictions are based on, the month that you received your license. And so... if you're driving after midnight, the police officer has to look at you, decide if you look like you're under 17, and if you're under 17 and pulls you over, then decide, do all the mental arithmetic to figure out when you got your license and is it still applicable. And, based on some conversations we've had, whatever they decided to stop the driver for is going to be a bigger penalty than for violating GDL. And so I think, those things go into effect, in these rates, and I don't really know how it's done in the other states. Those are just my anecdotal experience in Utah. So, yeah. Yes?
New Jersey has a program that
has
been
coming out on New Jersey was not one of my states, and I think that's probably the best way to do that, but I've heard legislators, argue that by doing that, you're profiling and, age bias kind of arguments. So. Thank you.
Any other questions right now? And again, we'll have time at the end for more discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tisha.